Merlin nodded in agreement. He'd been a bit more optimistic about the Royal Chisomian Army's willingness to adopt the new weapons and tactics than some Carizians had been, but even he had been pleasantly surprised by the Chisomians' enthusiasm for the changes. And, the Sajan thought, Green Valley had an even better point than the Baron himself might realize about the army's importance in the eyes of the Empire's Chisomian subjects. By and large, the majority of Chisomians appeared firmly united behind the decision to fuse the kingdoms of Chisom and Caris, now almost universally referred to as Old Caris, just to keep things straight, into the new Carizian Empire. Not all of them were, however. Some, and especially those who were most prone to think in terms of their own power and influence, doubted that the promised equality between Chisom and Old Caris could or would truly be maintained. Old Caris boasted half again the population of Chisom, and its economic wealth was at least 4 times that of Chisom. Its manufactories and merchants had held a dominant position in Chisom's economy even before the two kingdoms had united. The Carizian merchant marine dominated all the seas and oceans of Safehold, and the Royal Chisomian Navy had disappeared, almost without a trace, into the much larger Royal Carizian Navy, even if the resulting union was officially called the Imperial Navy. Under the circumstances, it probably wasn't unreasonable for at least some Chisomians to nourish a few doubts about how long it would be before Chisom openly became the junior partner, one might almost say the second-class partner, in the imperial relationship. Caleb and Charlian were determined to prevent that from happening. The fact that Charlian was Caleb's co-ruler, that she had governed the entire empire in her own name from Telesburg while Caleb was off at war in Coruscant, and that it was she, not Caleb, who had overseen the creation of the new imperial parliament, had gone quite some way towards accomplishing that goal. The fact that the imperial capital would be located in Chiraeth, the capital of the Kingdom of Chisom, for half the year, and in Telesburg, the capital of the Kingdom of Caris, for the other half of the year, went even further. It assured the citizens of Chisom that Carizian viewpoints would not be allowed to dominate the imperial government simply because the people arguing for those viewpoints enjoyed a far better, far closer, and uninterrupted access to the emperor and empress. The formation of the imperial army was intended to be yet another reassurance. The Chisomian crown's 2 great supports under King Salus and Queen Charlian had been the fierce loyalty of the Chisomian commons and the royal army. As Green Valley had just pointed out, it had been the army, backed by the political and financial support of the commons and with its ranks filled primarily by commoners, with which King Salus had broken the arrogant power of the Carizian aristocracy's great magnates. It was that same army and the even fiercer loyalty, the love, of those same commoners for the dauntless courage of the child queen who had succeeded Salus after his untimely death, which had allowed Charlian to survive. And those same deep reservoirs of support were what had carried them with her in her decision to wed Caleb and create the empire. She and Caleb were both fully aware of that, which was why, just as Caleb had insisted, Chisomian merchants and manufacturers must have equal access to the empire's markets, both foreign and domestic. The two of them had decreed that it was Chisom which would take the lead in the formation of the imperial army. There were those among the Royal Carizian Marines who had objected, although they'd been wise enough to do it quietly in most cases, to that decision, whose sense of pride in their own organization, in the way it had grown so explosively, the fashion in which it had smashed its opposition in Coruscant, was deeply offended by the notion that the Marines should not only go back to being purely a shipboard and amphibious force, but also transfer the majority of the Coruscant campaign's veterans to the army. Those who'd been sufficiently foolish to make an issue of their objections had been found other duties, however. "I think probably still another part of it," the Sajan said out loud now, "is the fact that Caleb and Charlian have made it so abundantly clear that whereas Karis is reasonably going to take the lead where naval affairs are concerned, it only makes sense to give that same role to Chisholm where the army is concerned. Which is why you're an army officer now, of course. The decision to fold the bulk of the Imperial Marines over into the army and respect the seniority of the army's existing officers in the process wasn't an easy one, but Caleb and Charlian were right to insist on it, I think." "Absolutely." Green Valley's nod was more vigorous and emphatic than Merlin's had been. "The officers I'm working with obviously see that decision as proof their majesties meant what they said about the organization of the Empire's armed forces, especially after, well..." The Baron's voice trailed off on a most unusual note of something that was almost, not quite, but almost, embarrassment, and Merlin smiled, without any trace of humor. "Especially after the army's top commander conspired with the Temple Loyalists to murder, or at least kidnap, Charlian, you mean?" "Well, yes, actually," Green Valley admitted. He shook his head slightly. "Hard to blame them for worrying about it, really. In their place, I'd certainly have been afraid the Crown would entertain serious doubts about the army's basic reliability. Especially given how popular Halbrook Hollow was, with the common troopers, not just the officer corps. He's the one who built this entire army, Merlin. He shaped it. He commanded it in most of its critical battles. And he led its soldiers to victory in every campaign. How could they not have worried about whether or not the Crown would feel it couldn't afford to trust their loyalty after something like that? For that matter, a lot of them felt shamed by his actions. They hadn't done anything wrong, but he was their commander, and at least some of them feel his treason has stained them as well.